Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Caller analyst Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome inside Jaguars Central at Everbank Field. Time for Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. I'm Brian Sexton. Jeff Lagerman is in the house. John Osher makes his way over from the headquarters of Jaguars.com. Yeah, well, you know, you give it a little bit of a lift. It's radio. You can do that. Right. Joe Fortunato's alongside, and Jeff, we have a special guest this evening.
Yeah, we're expected to have Jaguars head coach Mike Mularka here at any minute and talk about the staff, and, right. And this is really the first week that they've been able to meet as a staff and get his thoughts on the coaching staff and, you know, kind of where it goes from here.
You know, and John is adjusting his chair here to set everything up, but he had a story the last couple of days about what they're doing, what Mike is doing with the staff and how they're getting things rolling. And what I thought was interesting, I mean, I think everyone can understand that they're putting the game plan together, not game plan, they're putting the playbook together and things like that, doing evaluations, but their interaction with players is different this year than it's been in years past.
Yeah, and
the new CBA restricts them.
I switched chairs to the one with no arm on it, so the head coach
can
have a good
chair. We know
anybody
we can call and get that fixed.
And they, I'm a team player.
I think he's right over there.
I know where I stand.
Okay, there you go. I need to fix that.
But yeah, until I talked to Mike last week about this, you know, these couple of stories that ran this week, I really didn't realize exactly how different it really was. And there is a, I guess in the past, if a player chose to come in, they could sort of talk about some different things. And now they're really under, you know, pretty strict rules to not talk football when they see these guys. I talked to Tony Oden today, the secondary coach, and he said he's
– And you're. Well, let me give a little description here, because you're talking about the current coaches talking with their current players that
Correct.
Are on the team now.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, not sure exactly, you know, which players you're talking about, because it is different. And years past, you can talk to anybody at any time. That's changed.
Right.
If you're a player rep, you were a player rep, and you're a player rep now in this environment, and you walk down the hallway – and you see a coach and a player talking, as a player rep, are you thinking, what are you guys talking about? Or do they care?
I don't think that they care. I think
so
what you're trying to protect against is the, you know, having structure. You know, and as long as there's no structure that's allowed, then, you know, obviously teams can't be saying, hey, you know, we got a meeting tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You know, you need to be here. You know, and
what and if you don't have rules, they'll get bent.
That's always really been bent when you don't have rules in place. You know, the perfect example is way back when in 1995 and Tom Coughlin bent some rules when it came to the number
Tom?
Of he was one of the all-time best at it. You know, the number of practices that you could have, and he actually had more practices than any team in the league because he sandwiched some extra ones up and moved the start of training camp up earlier. You know, so the rules are in place because of that situation. Jimmy Johnson, by Dallas Cowboys years ago.
Well, he's the guy that really changed it.
He's the one, you know, because when there was no collective bargaining agreement that talked about, you know, OTAs or off-season training activities, there wasn't a number on them. Jimmy Johnson was having a whole slew of them. And so they came in and said, okay, we're going to have 14 days of OTAs, and you can have one mandatory minicamp, but if you have a coaching change, you're allowed to have two other additional voluntary mini camps. And so they eliminated a lot of that language so that there wouldn't be any confusion or pressure put on the players to attend voluntary activities.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. So Mike Mularka will join us in a couple of minutes. Until then, we can talk about this topic or we can talk about the Super Bowl, whatever's on your mind.
Well, it was interesting. I talked to Tony Oden today, you know, for a little while, and he said he's talked to several players. He talked to Rasheen Mathis. He talked to several guys, and he's talked to him for an extended period of time, but he's very much in an introductory stage where he's talking about their families, getting to know them as people. And, you know, he said even if he's not really inclined during this introductory time to talk to him about football anyway, but he said even if I was, you know, the reality is we can't. And that's just sort of what they're operating under right now. And Mike said in the story that I wrote that it will be – a little bit of a longer process at first getting to know these guys. And it's like Jeff, I think, alluded to, it's not really the ideal situation for a new coach coming in, But if you don't have these rules in place, then somebody's going to bend them. So you have to have them in place somewhere.
So when you're talking about learning a defense and learning an offense, will that slow that process down? Or
no,
will these guys be able to get enough time in?
I think that, you know, with the staff, which the first day they met was Monday, I mean, they're trying to kind of figure out what their plan of attack is going to be.
Well, the defense obviously is going to stay very similar.
But still, I mean, there are some, the new staff members that you have to get up to speed, you know, the new defensive backs coach, you know, so and offensively, I mean, you've got a lot of minds coming together, and they're going to come up with what is going to be their offensive system. So, you know, they're not quite ready to handle players anyway at this point. They need to kind of figure out what the playbook's going to look like. They're working on the schedule, the off-season activities, you know, how the dates and the calendar is going to work. So there's a lot that they have to work through as a staff fairly quickly to set that off-season to where they can get everything accomplished in an efficient way with the new rules.
And we're only a couple of weeks away. The coaches will be going to the combine, and then they'll be on the road for personal, you know, campus visits. And I mean, it won't be that far. It's not like they've got all the time in the world to sit and talk football anyway.
We can talk to Mike about this when he comes in. I'm sure we will, but I had a couple of fans ask me, well, does Blaine have a playbook yet? And the answer is, well, there's not really a playbook to have yet. I mean, there's a, you know, I'm fascinated to talk to Mike about it. There's a structure of a playbook in place. But in terms of details, you know, it's going to be a process where there's a lot of offensive coordinators on this staff. And as they're putting it in, there's going to be ideas going in, and it's going to be Mike's basic offense, but there's going to be some input from a lot of different guys. So there's not really a playbook for anybody to have yet, and that's okay.
Well, and I would think that the playbook is going to have to be very fluid, you know, because the players dictate what your playbook can and cannot have.
Sure.
And
free agency doesn't open to March
13. We all understand that when free agency opens up, that's going to change the dynamic of the playbook. You know, you're going to say, okay, well, here's what we got now. What are we going to have? You're going to put the basics in now. But then once you kind of tailor that offense to your personnel, that changes things. So it's going to be a constant process, and I think it's going to be a very busy offseason for this coaching staff. But at least now that, you know, they're one of the first, you know, of all the new staffs, I mean, they're in place and ready to go. Now they can go and be coaches now.
Were you around a lot of these guys over Mobile last week? General observations before we take our first break on what you saw from these guys?
Well, you know, it's the Senior Bowl, so you see them looking at players. But it's something I was saying last week.
I should say heard from these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned last week, I think I got cut off, that the respect level for Jerry Sullivan is really what struck me over there. I was familiar with Jerry and knew who he was, but you talk to a lot of people over there, privately and publicly, who say, in terms of wide receivers coaches, this is one of the guys. And, I don't think it's any secret the Jaguars wide receivers have struggled. So that's clearly a position where you're going to have a lot of new guys coming in, some young guys who I think people around here think might be better than what they've shown so far. And, you know, to have Jerry Sullivan at that place, at that position, I think is certainly key.
All right, we're due for our first break. Let's take it now. More to come. Jaguars This Week live from Everbank Field. We are expecting Mike Mularkey to join us for a short time here on the program this evening. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolling along here on a Wednesday evening in North Florida. We're presented by Aetna here on Jaguars Radio, and we're live at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman, John Osher, Joe Fortunato. Pleased to bring in the head coach, Mike Mularkey. How are you tonight, Coach?
Doing good. Good. Nice to be back here and out of the office for a little bit.
Just a little bit. We're not far away, though, in case they need you.
I know. Just far enough, though, that I can get away. Yeah, to take a breather.
Monday, first day, you get to have your whole staff assembled in meeting. How's the week gone to have everybody kind of in the building and the brain power going?
It feels great because, you know, the 2 weeks of the interviews going on with the coaching staff and, you know, obviously multitudes of other things going on within the organization, to have everybody in there. And, you know, some guys had not met each other before, get a chance to meet each other, get a chance to start talking football, throw the film on, start some evaluating, start the playbook. We're already up to page 4 on the playbook. It's just been good to have everybody around, and it's just back to normal life for me, that just much more comfortable in this environment than the interviews that go on, because that can be very tiring.
Let's talk about your offensive staff to start. You've got a bunch of guys on there who have filled that coordinator's role, which gives you a wealth of experience and a wealth of opinions. How much stronger does that make this staff, and how does it function?
Well, you know what's really good about these guys, because that could be really an easy place to have some egos come out and have some conflicts of interest, and my idea is better than your idea, and that's not the case. We have a bunch of guys in there that are just trying to narrow this thing down to put the best system in place for the players that are currently on our roster. So at the same time we're in there putting the book together, we're also evaluating our own personnel to make sure when we are, you know, putting the tabs and the plays and the formations and everything, that's going to fit exactly to what our guys are capable of doing. And you've got some creative guys in that room. I mean, everybody comes from some different background with offensive systems, and it's kind of fun to be in there to listen to different things other people have done. You go, I never thought of something like that, and they're doing the same, and we're introducing our system to them as well. So it's been really positive. It's been a good experience, and I think everybody's really handled it very well.
Yeah, and I would think that, I mean, holy cow, the number of years that your offensive staff has as coordinator experience. I mean, do you know of any other staff in the league that has that many years of coordinatorship under their belt?
Not right off the hand. I can't think of a group like that. I mean, when you're looking at position coaches and assistant coaches, you do want people that have been in positions that you know, that is a tough role, the coordinator position. But also, you know, I'm even talking about Sly Kroom, who's been a previous head coach for me to help me out in some things that I may not be up to par on. And I'm not afraid to lean on him if I need some information. So it's really good to have as many guys as we have with the experience that they have, that when it's all said and done, hopefully we put the perfect pieces in place that everybody's comfortable with.
How much of a role did the new owner, Shad Khan, have in this? Because, I mean, you really, as a head coach, to get the staff that you want, you have to have support from ownership to be able to do the things that you'd like to do as a head coach.
Very supportive. I mean, not many teams that I've been with, organizations, has the owner actually sat down with individual assistant coaches in their interviews. And, you know, he made a point of, hey, bring them over here, let them get a chance to meet me. And you know, that's unbelievable that he would spend the time that he did with the assistants that were in this building, and very supportive from the first day on.
In a radio interview on Monday, he talked specifically about Greg Olsen, and he said, we did a lot of work to get him here. We're real excited about him. So why don't we start there, because he's a guy that was in Tampa and worked with Josh Freeman, people know about. Tell us about your quarterback's coach, because that's obviously the spotlight position.
Well, Greg has a great background, dating back to when he's coached in college with Drew Brees at Purdue, and you know, he's done some great things with Josh Freeman. He is a quarterback coach per se, that you know, he wrote a thesis on quarterback play in college. I mean, that's how much
for real.
Very detailed in what he does with the quarterbacks, and again, talked about that position. You know, you really got to have somebody that watches every little thing on that quarterback. Like Tiger Woods has a coach, even though, you know, one of the greatest golfers in the game, still has somebody sitting overseeing everything he does, and that's no different with a quarterback. Greg has, when we brought him in to interview him, I really was more impressed with watching his passion for how he was running the clicker and running the tape. I wasn't even watching what was going on the tape. I was watching his body language and everything that went into how he talked about the position and just the little things. I was more impressed with that than really what was being said. It was just, you know, the guy knows what he's talking about. He's done it for a long time. He can be a coordinator. He had some opportunities to be a coordinator in this league, and he opted to come here for a variety of reasons, and we're very fortunate to have him here. And he'll be a coordinator again in this league, and, you know, that'll probably happen soon.
You talked about how Tiger Woods had to have a coach. Larry Fitzgerald in the lockout went to saw a guy by the name of Jerry Sullivan, your wide receivers coach. 65 years old, obviously has a lot of respect around the league, had other opportunities. How important was it to get him for that position group?
Well, really, really fortunate. You know, when we, you know, I sat down and I said, looking at all the positions and who were the best available coaches and who maybe not available, I was going to try to attempt to get. You know, I thought the two that were probably at the top of their profession right now were Terry Rubisky, which I just worked with in Atlanta, and Jerry Sullivan. And I knew Jerry had retired, so I knew, you know, Terry was going to stay in Atlanta and I figured Jerry was retired, and I was actually the first week I was driving back from Atlanta, and I got a text that from Jerry that said, "Hey, I'd be interested in working with you and Bob Rakowski." And I was like, "Well, this is good."
Yeah.
So I immediately reached out to him, and at that time he was already getting, you know, some requests to go out to. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald literally flew him to Arizona, walked him into Ken Wisenhunt's office, and said, "I need this guy here." And you know, Jerry decided to come here for, again, for a variety of reasons that will help us and help our receivers, you know, move forward.
What is it about him? What does he bring to the table that's so specific that will help this position?
Well, specifics is one thing. I mean, he's very, again, like a lot of these guys, very detailed with the techniques and fundamentals of the position. Demanding in a specific way, not demeaning, but he is demanding. And earns a lot of guys' respects. He has trained and been around a lot of great receivers. And he has just a great track history behind him that, you know, it's, our guys are very fortunate to get one of the best that's ever coached the position.
Something you talked about a little bit is it is the need for Bob Rutkowski to sort of feel at home in the offense. And can you explain the process of your scheme, essentially, but – him sort of being the voice of that scheme in the room with the players, with the coaches, with everything.
Right. It's, you know, when you're installing a scheme to players and then you have to actually call that scheme on game day, it's important that it can flow very efficiently out of your mouth. And you've basically got to get up there and install it like you invented it yourself, and you got to call it like you invented it. And you got to be comfortable in order to do that. And there's a lot. You know, I've tried to do it myself in other systems, and it's a difficult thing to do if you're not familiar with the system. So I just told him early on, before even this ever came about, if this ever happened and we were in this position, I would not put you in the position I was put in, that I thought I could call another system comfortably, and I did not. I failed basically at it. So
this is what you're talking about here is your stint in Miami, where this was not your system.
It was not my system, and I went right from my system into another system. And had to, you know, the system was already in place. So instead of having the players and staff all learn a new system, it was basically me having to learn it and then installing it and calling it. And then it, really the system didn't even support my philosophy. So I was up in front of the players speaking one thing, and then I was calling another, and it was just, you know, it was difficult to do at the time. So, you know, with Bob, at least he's had a year in the system. He's much more comfortable in the system we ran last year in Atlanta than I was. So it's not going to be a drastic change by any means. There's very slight little changes that, again, I've already picked up on quickly. And, again, everything that the players and coaches are going to get is new to them anyhow. So it's not very, you know, the only guy that's really going to have to pick up some things is me, and I've had no problem with it.
Something that's telling in the Super Bowl this week is there's two head coaches who are on their second job. When we've talked, you've kind of talked about learning from some things that happened in Buffalo. Are you, I mean, I assume it doesn't surprise you that those guys have had success and there are things you can learn from your first time around.
Well, yeah, there definitely is. And right. you can learn a lot of good, and you can right. learn some things you don't want to do again. This has been a very smooth transition from day one, very much more comfortable, you know, obviously understanding the process, going about it the second time around, and I'm hopefully that will continue as we go through this offseason and regular season.
We have to break for news. Can you stick with us? And we've still got a couple of other coaches to talk about. And
sure.
Maybe a couple thoughts on the Super Bowl teams.
Sure.
Mike Mularkey, Jaguars head coach, is with us here on Jaguars This Week, first Wednesday night of February. We're glad he's with us. We're glad you're with us. Come back after the news, which is next on News Talk WOKV. On Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Second half hour now here on a Wednesday evening. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman. There you go. I'm going to let you say it yourself. Joe Fortunato is here. And the head coach, Mike Mularkey, joins us now. You know, before we get back into talking about the assistants, you've done this a couple times in your career where you've put together a staff, been a part of a staff coming together. Brand new. Everyone's there. You talked about guys getting to meet each other for the first time this week. People are excited around here. Is there an excitement level over there? I mean, is it fun to get a new staff together and pick up a project and start something and start to see it through fruition, or will you enjoy it more next year?
No, it's fun now. I mean, it's really fun because a lot of guys have had some time off. They're ready to get back into the building and get going with and moving forward with this process here. at some point here, though, when we get into mid-March and April, they'll be going, I'm so sick of you.
Because they don't have their wives or kids
no,
yet.
Because what happens when you don't have your families here, you stay longer because you got no place to go. Right. And so you're here longer together. And it just, you know, at some point, it'll get a little tedious. But, no, there's a little pep in their step. And I think they all realize that, you know, we all feel like we're a good staff. We put a good staff together, and they're all excited about what we're about to do. It's hard right now with the off season and the players and the new rules and regulations that don't allow us to talk football with the players right now, which is hard.
Let's stay on that just for a second before we go back to your coaches, because how different is it this year than from prior years when you talk about different rules? What are the rules? For most fans, they don't know.
No, it's funny that I know most fans don't know, but really most of our players did not know, and even some of the coaches were unaware of it that we brought in from the college ranks. But right now, we really cannot have – we can have players in the building. Players can come in the weight room, but we cannot instruct them in the weight room. We can – if there's something we feel like is a preventative – prevent injury, or there's misuse of equipment, our strength coaches can go – talk to them. But as far as instructing them how to do it or how many times to do it or what our program is, there's none of that. There's no football communication. Cannot talk about our scheme on the phone in person. And probably the biggest one, which, you know, it's Nick Harris was in the other day in my office, and, you know, he's talking about punting the football. I said, well, just did you know this rule? There's no footballs allowed on the football field. He goes, no, I didn't know that. And I said, well, let's hold on a second. So I called Drew Hampton, our equipment guy. I said, go around to all the lockers. And then our footballs, I want you to padlock them somewhere where nobody can get a football on the field. And I said, I know it's a football team, but we cannot have footballs on the field. And it's strictly it's written no in bold and underlined in the new restrictions for the offseason until we get into the phases in April where the players can still come in, but voluntarily is when we can talk football and have footballs to use on the field. It's amazing that's where it's at, but that's where it's at.
World has changed dramatically.
Well, that's a short conversation with football players when you can't talk football.
No, it is. you know, and the thing we got to do, we got to start building a relationship with them right now as quickly as we can. So when we do talk football, you know, the trust level is, hey, this is it's already very tight. So I've talked to all the players, all of them on the roster, whether it's been on the phone, in person, I've emailed them. All of our assistants have talked to the players. They will continue to do that. And, you know, we still want them to come in. It's still voluntary, but it's difficult not to talk football with them.
Before we get back to the assistant coaches, and there's some we definitely want to talk about, what is your schedule? I mean, when can you start an off season? When can you – do you get too many camps because you're a new staff? And how many OTAs do you get?
Well, there's three phases in the off season program. Again, all of them voluntary for the players. And being a new staff, we can bring our players in on April 2nd for phase one, which is 2 weeks, which is strictly with the strength and conditioning staff. Still no football talk, no football scheme, no installation, no anything, no instruction on the field. So that's for 2 weeks. And then I get an extra, you know, our staff gets an extra camp. And it's basically, I'm calling it a veteran orientation camp, because literally the first time they come in there for their first meeting, they don't even know where to line up in the huddle yet. So it is really orientation for a mini camp. And then we still have our coaching sessions, which we have 12 of those, which we'll, you know, go through.
Those are OTAs? Those are out on the
field?
No,
you get 10 OTAs.
Okay.
That's still part of it. So really, you get 9 weeks. 8 of them have to be in succession and in a 12-week period. Somehow you have to figure all that out. And certain things have to be on.
Confused already. Yeah.
No, it is. It's very.
Yeah, what's a coaching session?
A coaching session
for
is
football. It should be on the field, right?
Well, it can be. About 45 minutes can be on the field, about 45 minutes in the classroom. Okay. You get players for 4 hours. 2 of those hours, you can designate which hours we would like them to be there, although they don't have to be there.
And you're allowed 14 of those.
12 of those.
12 of those.
Right.
And then the OTAs, the actual practices, how many are you allowed of those?
10.
So 12 of just coaching. And then
10
of actual put helmets on and have a team practice.
Yes, 10 of those. The 12, the coaching sessions are really important for us because it's a controlled environment. It's nothing, there's no pressure of having to go out and c- compete against each other, no team periods, nothing like that. It's, you can actually go out there and talk about technique and fundamental in a very relaxed atmosphere, show it on tape. It's really good for players, which none of them had last year. And then you got your 10 OTAs, and then we will finish up in mid-June with a mandatory minicamp that everybody that's under contract for the 2012 season must show up for.
So that will be at the end.
That will be at the end, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
No wonder you're not calling your own plays. You're the CEO. You're not the head coach.
Well, what's interesting is when that minicamp's over with, which will be mid-June, that next day we're back into no footballs on the field.
Wow.
No talking football again until we go back to training camp. So it kicks right back in to staying away from. So
let's say Blaine Gabbert wants to go and throw to his guys. Nick Harris wants to go out and catch some snaps and punt.
They have to do it off site.
Somewhere else.
Just like they did during the lockout. They've got to find a site that, you know, and we're hoping some of these guys do the same thing. Just coordinate places together to. Now that they know what our philosophy and our scheme is, they can go do it themselves.
Let me give you a scenario. Tom Brady has always gone out to California and worked with a very well-known quarterback's coach. In today's world, if Blaine Gabbert was to hire a quarterback's coach, could that quarterback coach talk to your quarterback coach and devise some sort of an idea of what you do so he could help him? I'm not trying to circumvent rules. I'm just wondering, you know, if you were to hire a quarterback coach –
No, I know.
It could help you like Tom Brady did so effectively. Would it even benefit him?
I'm sure it would. It certainly would. I don't know what the channeling is of whether the information. I mean, I'll say this: we're going to do it by the book.
Absolutely.
We are not going to go over the line for anything. That started day one. We've been here, and the players understand that. I've sent them the rules 3 times already. So,
yeah.
And the coaches have confirmed it. You know, verbally. So we are going to do this thing the right way. But I'll find out about that and.
It's just interesting because there are a lot of people, and I know you get it in the ozone all the time. What's Blaine doing? What's Blaine doing? What's Blaine doing?
Damn.
And so you wonder, you know, how much can a player do on their own towards being ready for your system?
They can do exactly what Tom Brady does. They can go higher. There's a bunch of, you know, these camps that are in Tampa. They're all over the place that they can go and pay for instruction. But really, it'll be specifically designed for what that
quarterback coach does.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's take a break. I know we're all confused. Can you stay with us for the final segment, and we'll talk about some of these guys, or do you need to get back?
No, my wife's not in town.
Oh.
So.
There you go.
You got him.
All right, so we'll come back with Mike Mularkey, and we'll talk about Sylvester Croom and Bobby Johnson and a couple of other coaches. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back, Jaguars This Week. One more segment with Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey. And I don't want to short any coaches. We'll stay with the offense tonight since we know so many of the defense and so many new coaches are there. Tell us about this Mularkey kid, this strength assistant.
He's awesome. You know, he's got a passion. He really loved the scouting portion of it. Loved working for Gene, learned a lot. If he'd learned anything, he probably learned how to do everything the right way, being around Gene for 2 years and plus. But he's had a passion. He got some work in Atlanta, and he's where he wants to be. And I appreciate Gene allowing him to move on because I think he's losing somebody really good in that scouting department as well.
Well, in the world that you live in, what a blessing to have a son that wants to be in football that you get to spend some time with.
It's unique. And, I mean, for it to happen, fall into this, it's unbelievable that it happened. But I'm certainly glad it did.
To finish up with your offensive staff, Sylvester Croom, obviously a legend. At the University of Alabama, obviously a legend in the coaching ranks. Boy, was it hard to convince him to come and coach a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew?
No, but the hard part was the demand for him to be other places. You know, you're basically competing with other teams that know what kind of person, first of all, you're getting with Sly, and then how good of a coach he is. And you know, so you gotta. Do whatever you can to convince him that this is the best place for him. And, you know, he did his homework. It's funny that the PR guy in St. Louis, he asked about me because he was previously in Atlanta, and the PR guy said, if you can work for Mike, you should run there. So I called the PR guy. I go, I can't thank you enough.
You.
I mean, I need a bunch of people doing that to get him here. And it's really selling the organization, selling the city, which – it's not hard to do, selling this team. There's a lot of good things about this place. And so I had a lot of help to get him here and these other guys.
How about your tight ends, Coach? You've got a Pro Bowl caliber tight end who 2 years ago had 10 touchdowns. Obviously, last year was a very difficult year for him. Tell us about Bobby Johnson, the job that he has with a guy you play tight end. You know the position well.
Yeah, I mean, fortunate to get him, too. He was in Buffalo. He was the assistant O-line coach. He has coached tight ends. So I knew he had some experience coaching the position. That position used to be kind of hire a buddy, and that's the position to coach. Or when I was playing, you didn't even have a tight end coach. You kind of split time between the O-line and the wide receivers. That position is as critical of a position as any, and you better have somebody really well qualified to do it. And especially, you know, I think Bobby is one of the best teachers for blocking, and we got one of the better blocking tight ends. We got a couple of them on our roster, especially with Mercedes. I mean, he's special, and there's not a lot of guys like him in the league. So he's got a great coach to keep going with it. And you know, I will put my 2 cents worth in because I love the position, and so I'll try not to get too involved. But I will be around that position probably more than any.
You know, we talked a lot about the offensive staff. How important was it for you to keep Mel Tucker? And I know now he's got the title defensive coordinator / assistant head coach. How important was it to keep Mel?
Well, first it was it's assistant head coach / defensive coordinator.
I got it backwards.
Yeah. No, because I want that. I mean, I want everybody to understand that you know, sometimes that tag of assistant head coach is used to entice people to, you know, move, you know, into another position. That's nowhere near what happened with Mel. Mel will be a head coach in the NFL. I'm going to do what I can to help him be that head coach. And I wanted him to know that, you know, I appreciated him staying here because we need Mel to win here. And he had some opportunities to go to some other places, and I enticed him to go. I said, I think you need to go look. I'm not going to drive you to these places, but I think you need to go look and weigh all your options, because then I know when you come back here, if you do come back here, then you're all in on this staff. And, you know, he and I, the good part is we don't have egos. We have worked well together, and I've involved him with a lot of decisions that we've already had to make.
I know one area that the fans really want to know, especially after the injuries last year, is strength and conditioning. And just sort of your philosophy with Tom Maslinski and sort of why he's your guy at that spot.
Well, I have some history with Tom. And Tom, you know, was a previous player here.
Right.
And he was a player in Pittsburgh when I was coaching in Pittsburgh. He's a classic overachiever. He just, you know, he shouldn't have played in the league for 9 years. Somehow he found a way. He's well respected already in this position as a head and strength and conditioning coach, collegiately and in the NFL. And to get him here was, again, not an easy task to bring him in here. But he and the addition of Josh Hinkst, who came from Nebraska, who I have some experience in Atlanta, they kind of bring a variety of a little similar to what was going on here, the core, explosive movement. There's just and nutrition was really a big part of it, where Josh Hinkst was also ran all the nutrition for all the sports at Nebraska. Nebraska, yeah, obviously, yeah. Mm-hmm. Has a history with the strength and conditioning. So the combination of the two, I interviewed both of them for the head job. And after I got done speaking with both of them, I said, well, I'd like to get both of these guys. And just had to find a way how to get both of them, and one to be the head guy and one to be the assistant, and make sure they were compatible, because I did not want to, first of all, put them in position to not be, because I knew in the long run it would affect our whole team. And it has worked out better than I could have imagined.
We've talked about a couple of guys who've been here before. Myslinski's been here before. Mel Tucker, obviously, has been here before. You get Marlon McCree to your staff, Paul Spicer to your staff, and John Bonamago comes back as your special teams coordinator. He's been here before. He was here when Tom Coughlin was the head coach. Your thoughts on what he brings as the special teams coordinator?
Lots of energy. I can tell you, you need a guy that, you know, he can light up an office. He's got great personality. He's got great passion for the job. He's a great teacher. There's a lot of good things about him. I mean, very fortunate that we got him. He was already, you know, he's been here. His family was living here while he was coaching in New Orleans. But, you know, his passion and the kind of person he is a great fit for the staff.
And for a special teams coach, I mean, when you're dealing with all 53 guys on the roster, you talked about the ability to light up a room. A special teams coach has really got to have that, doesn't he? Because he's working with so many different guys.
Really, I mean, besides myself, the special teams coach and the strength staff are going to be involved with the 53 guys than more than anybody on our staff. So those two hires are more important than I think some people really understand when you bring those guys on board, because they've got hands-on of everybody. And, you know, Bono has got a – he's just got a passion for him, which I love. He was similar to Greg Olson when I was watching him in the interview and going through the tape with him.
Got about 2 minutes left. You've got a few weeks before the combine. Do you enjoy the player evaluation side of it?
I do. You know, I like watching the film. I like watching the guys on film. But the thing I get more out of the combine is what they are doing when they're not doing the drills. I'm constantly gathering information, and I like to see what guys are doing when nobody is supposedly watching. And, you know, are they the first in line? Are they loners? Are they motivating other players? Are they listening? When coaches are instructing them on the 40 and – you know, some guys don't listen, then they get up there and they false start, and I'm like, well, this guy's going to be fun to coach. So I kind of watch a lot of things that go on when the drills aren't going on.
Right.
Even in the weigh-ins, I mean, everything, I'm constantly watching these guys just to kind of get a feel for how they are off, you know, when people aren't watching them.
Going to make a visit to Indy this weekend?
No, I'm not. This is the first weekend I'm going to have off, and I did that purposely because I just needed a little bit of a blow, so I'm going to take the weekend off.
Good plans? Going to go do anything?
I'm going to be on an island.
Good for you.
All right, so before we let you go, your thoughts on the Super Bowl, you know, Giants and Patriots.
Well, I like both offenses, their schemes, I can tell you that. I think whoever is the most physical and doesn't turn the ball over at the end of the day is going to be your winner.
It's amazing how in the playoffs, I've got a term, it's called the magnification of turnovers in the playoffs. It's unlike any other game. When you get in the playoffs, and particularly the big game, and when you brought up the point about turnovers, it is huge when it gets to the big game.
It's huge every game.
You know, it's huge every game, but in the Super Bowl, with all the adrenaline,
yeah, no,
that one mistake, it right. feels like the earth has just shook.
Yeah, your focus has got to be turned up a notch. I mean, you really got to remind them between every series going out there, everybody's got to really be thinking about ball security.
On this island, will you have the Super Bowl available to you?
Oh, I'll be watching this.
I just wondered.
Yeah, this is kind of a tradition for, you know, if we're not in it, then
you go and relax.
There's some coaches and their wives, and we go and relax.
It is a fraternity for sure. You guys, you're buckled in over there the next couple of months. Best of luck. Don't be a stranger. If we can help you, or if you feel like talking, come find us.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mike.
That will do it for Jaguars this week. We'll be back next Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, and every Wednesday evening throughout the off season. We're presented every week by Aetna, and so we leave you from Everbank Field here on Jaguars Radio. Good night, everybody.